Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Amos chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountains of Samaria. The notable men are the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calneh and see. And from there, go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who would put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from their flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall know by the first of those who go into exile and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle this week is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now there is a great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Now as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves at a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia end verse.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.' This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was sort of having troubles pulling together something for today, and I thought, let's do something special and unique. So if you don't mind about 7 minutes of silence, then we'll turn on the game and you can watch kickoff. By the way, if I hear a quiet school out there, we'll know. Today, we hear another one of Jesus' very vivid parables. Like all of his parables, there is a very simple truth that Jesus is showing. But before we get there, let's imagine again this illustrative story that Jesus is telling. There's once this rich man and a poor man. The difference between them is enormous. The rich man is not a believer, and we don't even know his name. The poor man was a believer, and we can call him by name, Lazarus, which means the one whom God helps, ironically. The rich man is living the high life, nice clothes, sumptuous feasting every day. This is like wedding-level feasting every day. The poor man, Lazarus, had nothing. He was starving. He had open sores that would not heal. Wandering dogs, probably, in fact, most likely, the dogs who did get to eat the scraps off of the rich man's sumptuous feasting, would come by and lick his wounds. That was the only mercy the man received. At the end of the day, both men lay down to sleep, but had very different experiences. As Lazarus was lying down on the cold street, he woke with a start, gripping his chest. Then everything went black. The next thing he knew, a couple of beautiful angels were at his side, picking him up and carrying him away. And in a moment, he was in that beautiful place of paradise with Abraham, heaven. Meanwhile, the rich man was laying in a very nice California king bed, woke with a start, gripped his chest, everything went black. Next thing he knew, he was in a terrible place of pain and torture and suffering like he never thought was possible. Hades itself. As the rich man was writhing in pain, he looked up at one point. There in the distance, he saw Abraham. And wait, there is Lazarus, that homeless guy who hung out by his house, whose name he even knew, though he never cared for him. Mustering up whatever strength he could, he shouted out, "Abraham, help! I'll take anything. Have Lazarus just dip the very tip of his finger in the water. A single drop will ease so much of the agony." And Abraham looked back at the rich man and said, "It's too late. God blessed you with so much in life, and you spent it only on yourself, turning away from the giver of all gifts. Lazarus has suffered and had a rough life, yet he trusted in God. He loved his Lord. He listened to his word for life. Besides, even if I wanted to help, I couldn't. God has put this huge gap between us. Nobody can cross from here to there or from there to here." Suddenly, the rich man's eyes got big and he shouted to Abraham, "Oh no, my brothers, you've got to do something. Send Lazarus back to life so he can warn my family so they don't end up with me like this in Hades." And Abraham calmly responded, "They have God's word. Let them listen to his word." The rich man cried out again, "No, Abraham. But if somebody came back from the dead, that would be the proof they need. That would cause them to repent." But Abraham shook his head and answered, "If they're unwilling to listen to God's word, then they will not be convinced, even if somebody should come back from the dead." There's a number of things that make this parable slightly different than many of the other parables that Jesus told. One of those things that is much more vivid, it's full of more details than most of his simple parable stories. Unfortunately, because there are so many details in the parable, it's often easy to get distracted from the main point. I mean, so much ink has been spilt over matters of what happens when we die, according to this parable, that it's easy to forget that this parable is meant for the living. So it's a very good thing how the punchline of this parable is direct and straightforward. God's word is enough. That seems like a very simple thing, but it is true. God's word is enough. Everything we need to be saved is in his word. All of us know people like this rich man and his family. We know people who have at least heard the word of God, but really don't care very much about it. They're too busy between work and family and everything else, living the sumptuous life of luxury that we have in America. It's just no time for God, his word, his church. Too much remembering of having our fill without remembering the giver of all good things. What's our response? Our response, our natural tendency is to think that something spectacular might actually someday convince these people that we know. Maybe if we'd said just the right thing, or maybe if we could answer their questions more clearly or more easily, then maybe they would repent. Maybe if we just had the right program, just the right music at church, then that would be enough to put them over the edge. Then we could use that to get them to come to church. If we could do or fix some things, then we know that they'd believe. If we could get them to experience God, maybe some amazing miracle, it would be enough. Then they would believe. Except the hard truth is, if someone has heard God's word and they don't want to believe it, there is no trick, there is no program, there is no experience that is going to change their mind. Accept this truth that even in those circumstances, God's word is still enough. God's word still has everything we need to be saved in it. And the reason why God's word is enough is because Jesus is enough. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the one who has done all the work of saving us. Oh, okay, Pastor. Yeah, he's going to now Pastor's going to do that whole, you know, Jesus died on the cross and forgave our sins stuff. Oh, yeah, we've heard it 100 times. It sounds so simple. It's just a Sunday school answer. But folks, this simple answer is genuinely enough. This is the point of everything. Why? Because we all are like the rich man who deserve nothing but hell. Every one of us falls short of what God expects in our lives. And whether we realize it or not, we deserve what happened to this rich man, which is exactly why Jesus came into the world. The Word made flesh became one of us so that he could fulfill Moses and the prophets according to God's will. That he could do everything right to be the righteous one, the innocent lamb who offers his life as a sacrifice that wins the forgiveness of our sins. And his resurrection, is the only thing that brings us hope that we too would receive the blessing of Lazarus, being with Abraham and with all the saints in the glorious presence of God. Jesus' death, his resurrection, that is so important. It is so simple, and yet it is enough. It is more than enough to save us. Sometimes the simplest things are the best. I did a Google search. What's the healthiest exercise most everyone could do? You got it. Top-ranked advice from the American Heart Association: the simplest way to get moving and improve your health is to start walking. It's free, it's easy, it can be done just about anywhere, even in place. Sometimes the simplest things are the best. And the same is true of God's word. Because God's word is enough God's word has everything we need to be saved. For those that we know are too busy for God, who are acting like this rich man and choosing so to end up like him, God's word is enough. Sure, they may have heard it in the past and walked away from it, but that's no reason to stop speaking the truth. We must continue to speak God's word to them and to all. It doesn't mean you have to be quoting Bible verses to them all the time. We can speak God's word in simple ways. I was just recalling to the confirmation class this week one of the simplest phrases that changed a life. You may remember many moons ago, probably almost 20 years ago, Pastor Lutz brought with him a Muslim convert to Christianity, Hisham Shabab. Pastor Lutz and Hisham met while Pastor Lutz was working in Beirut for the Lutheran Hour Ministries. Their friendship and Hisham's conversion came with a simple greeting that Pastor Lutz used. Allah Mahaba. God is love. That simple greeting, spoken to a total stranger in an elevator, Allah Mahaba, it led Hisham to continue his path toward Christianity, to also then come to the United States to study, to become a pastor of the LCMS, to establish a ministry called Messiah for Muslims in the Chicagoland area, and through which many more Muslims have been baptized into Christ. Allah Mahaba. God is love. That's it. It's simple to speak. Now, it may not always lead to such spectacular results as it did with Hisham. But God's word is enough. We can't make anyone believe it. But we can keep giving them God's word. Because it is the only thing that can save them and us. Amen. May the peace of Christ, established in his death and resurrection, be a peace that you do not keep just to yourself, but share freely. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.